Well, I'm excited today to begin this series, Parenting with Purpose. And I have been looking forward to getting back into teaching regarding the family. I'm excited about July and the series, Too Committed, Experiencing and Enjoying Marriage God's Way as well. And I'm thrilled to kind of get into this area of our calendar year where we can really delve into relational training and development for the rest of the year if the Lord will allow. Now let me give this disclaimer and then we're going to jump right into this morning. The first lesson oftentimes is the most difficult, just trying to really set the direction of where we want to go with this series. I want to be sure to communicate as we go through this series that Brother Gabe is not a parenting expert. Many of you know I have four children. Mariah is 8, Lydia is 6, Annalena is 5, and Joseph is 3. And God has blessed our home immensely. I live a very blessed life. Suzanne and I will enjoy 12 years of marriage this June. God has blessed us. The Lord has blessed us with children. And I've had the privilege of serving the Lord with my life vocationally. And so God has been so, so very good to me. I am a student of the subject of parenting. All right? I'm not a master of the subject, quite frankly. For the next 3 months, I'm going to tell you a lot of things that I didn't do right and what I've learned through those mistakes and maybe how you can learn from them or how you can prevent them in your own life. But there is one thing that I'm passionate about, and that is I'm passionate about the home. And I love to study about the home and being a husband or being a father or how ladies can be a better wife and mother. And it's an area that God has given me a great burden and a great passion. It's something that I enjoy growing and learning in, and it's something that I am passionate about sharing. So please understand that you are hearing from a very imperfect parent who makes a lot of mistakes, who has a desire to strengthen his own home and yours as well. Whenever you begin to talk about subjects like parenting, you begin to get on the inside of people's lives. What goes on in their home when all the doors are closed? What goes on in their home when nobody knows about but family? When you start getting on subject and topics like this, you start getting into people's personal business, and sometimes people don't like that. And I just want you to know right from the get-go that my name is Gabe and I'm your friend. I'm not here to offend you. I'm not here to make you upset. Now, the Spirit of God may have designed to do a work in your life and in mine, and I hope and pray that He does. But the purpose of this truly is to strengthen your home and mind, and I pray that you see the spirit of that right from the get-go. I will tell you this, my kids are not perfect because they're like their dad, and I pray every day that that'll be less and less the case, but that's the way it is today for sure, and so appreciate your patience with that. Parenting can be a challenge. The story of the little boy who was sitting on the front steps of his house, and his face was cradled in his hands, and he was looking for so forlorn, and his dad came home from work, and he looked up at the son sitting there on the steps and just so somber and so serious and so distraught. And he said, "Son, what's wrong?" And the little boy looked up at his dad and said, "Well, just between us, Dad, I'm having trouble getting along with your wife, too." And, you know, sometimes parenting can be a challenge. Sometimes parenting can be some work. And this series is designed to help you and I parent well and parent with a purpose. And we're going to begin this series with this lesson this morning on a closed spirit. A closed spirit. Look at Proverbs chapter 15 and verse number 13. The Bible says, "A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart the spirit is broken." But by sorrow of the heart, by a broken heart, the what? The spirit is broken. Look what the Bible says in Proverbs 17, 22. Turn a few pages over or look in your notes if you will. "A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones." A broken spirit affects the physical body negatively. Proverbs 25, 28. "He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls." Now, we know in the times of Bible time, the walls of defense around the city were a vital component to its safety and stability and protection from hazard or injury or threat from outside. And the Bible says that when you have no rule over your own spirit, it's like that city that is broken down and without walls. And so this morning, we want to talk about a closed Spirit. And this morning, as we look at this, we're going to be studying the single most prevalent cause of disharmony within the home today. When the harmony in the home is not what it should be, this is why most often. It's for this cause that harmony is not in the home as it should be. Now, as we jump into this, we must first understand, what are we talking about when we say spirit? Okay? Now, the body is made up of a spirit, a soul, and a body. The Bible teaches us that. But what are we talking about? Well, look at these definitions in your notes. A spirit is a person's innermost being, similar to one's conscience. It's the area in which people can have fellowship one with another and enjoy each other's presence without a word being spoken. It's the inner being. It's the inner core. It is the inner part of man, his spirit. Okay? Then the soul would include the mind, the will, and the emotions. And then, of course, the body is the physical makeup. And so, if you will, you have the body, the physical, the external makeup. Then you have the soul, the mind, the will, the emotions. And then you have the spirit. That's the innermost part of the being. That's the core. That's the essence of who we are. And there's something about when the spirits in our home are open and there's harmony. And then there's something about when the spirits in our home are closed and there's no harmony. The spirit are closed, and what should be happening in our home in relation to parents and children is not happening, very simply because the spirits are closed and they're not open. Now, to illustrate or to help us understand what we're talking about this morning, an open versus a closed spirit, I want us to look at these sea anemones right here on our own California coast. And this is a picture of several of them, but many of us, as we see these, would be familiar with a sea anemone and understand that this is a beautiful part, typically found like in the coral reef or the tidal pools. Many times they're about 4 to 6 inches in diameter, and they are a beautiful pictorial view of the ocean floor in areas here even close to us. And then they have these wavy tentacles. And if you've ever been snorkeling or if you've ever been in an area to see them, there are maybe a glass bottom boat or something. They're a beautiful a specimen. They're a beautiful creature. They're beautiful to look at and to behold. But these wavy tentacles are very sensitive. And because of the nature of these sea anemones, their wavy tentacles is what alerts them to when they may be in danger or when there may be threat of injury. And so what happens is the wavy tentacles that are there to sense what's happening around, when it senses threat, it closes up and becomes a hard shell. The spirit of man is sensitive. The spirit of a child is very sensitive. And when the spirit senses offense or senses threat or senses potential of injury, it begins to close. And it begins to form a hard shell. And it begins to not be what it was designed or created to be. And just as we see it here in that illustration, so it can be in our lives and certainly in the lives of our children. The greater the harshness that may be going on about them, the greater the pain and the tighter they begin to close up. Now, when a child in my home and in yours begins to resist affection, when they resist touch, when they maybe you go to put your arm around them and they kind of shrug it off, they don't really want to be in your presence, you're beginning to see that their spirit is closed. Now, I put in your notes a couple of manifestations of a closed spirit. How do we know, Brother Rule, if we're facing a closed spirit in our home with one of our children? Well, a closed spirit can be manifested, or you could see it when there's arguing, when they refuse to do what you tell them to do, when they refuse to like anything you like. If you like it, they like the opposite just because you like that. When they're withdrawn, when they never want to be in your presence, they want to be in their room. Basically, wherever the family is, they are not. When they're not responsive to affection. You understand when a spirit is open and you go to hug a child, they hug you back. That's natural. You understand when the spirit is open, especially for younger children, they want to be physically in contact with their parents. That's natural. It's a need. So when that's not there, maybe the spirit is closed. If it gets worse and the spirit begins to close further, it could manifest itself in seeking friends that you do not approve of, in swearing, in disrespectful language or backtalk maybe to mom and dad. Ultimately, it could lead to drugs and alcohol and dependence on these types of things and sexual permissiveness. Now, these are behaviors that none of us desire to see in any of our children. And God forbid that our homes would lead to these types of things. But they begin back at maybe not obeying the first time, or maybe arguing, or maybe some things being sensed that aren't right. And we're going to talk about instruction. We're going to talk about discipline. We're going to talk a lot about that in this series. But we're going to begin talking about, are we even dealing with open spirits? Because I'll tell you right now, it's hard to instruct this. I'll tell you right now, it's hard to nurture this. I'll tell you right now, it's hard to lead this. It's a big difference when it's an open spirit. And so if we can cultivate open spirits in our homes, then we have a soil with which to work with that's pliable, that we can get something accomplished. Now, in our homes, as we see these things that are happening and we sense that there may be a closed spirit, then we must understand we've got to do something to open the spirits in our home. This is especially true with younger children, okay? Why? Because younger children have needs, all right? And when their spirits are closed and their needs are not being met at home, trust me, they're looking elsewhere to have their needs met. I sat down with a youth pastor at youth conference who was going through some difficult things, and he said, Brother Rule, we had a 13 and a 14-year-old skip school, Christian school, skip school, went to some rough apartment complex, went to some people they kind of knew, and the 13-year-old girl propositioned the man for sex. And the man was like, you're crazy. The 14-year-old girl stayed in that house. The 13-year-old girl walked around the apartment complex until she found someone who would have physical relationships with her. Was in the apartment for 5 to 6 hours. Finally, the police were called. The 28-year-old guy was arrested, and the 13-year-old girl was taken to the hospital. That's wicked. Why does that happen? Where is that girl's dad? I don't know the situation, but I can tell you this, he's not around. And if he is, he's failing. That is not a girl problem, that is a father problem. End of story. And many of us have the privilege of having children in our home. And it is on our shoulders to make sure the spirit is open and to make sure what needs to be happening in our home is happening, so that they are developing the way God intends them to be developed, and so that we have a spirit where they are protected, where they are loved, where they are cared for, where they are being nurtured in the admonition of the Lord. Now, in the average home, it's impossible to keep from offending one another. We're sharing the same roof. We're sharing the same table. We're engaging in life all of the time. And so sometimes things are going to happen every day that maybe cause someone in the home to be offended. Yet, it is totally possible to stay in harmony as long as we're committed to resolving every conflict that arises. Everything that happens, it's got to be on us to fix it. Why? Because we want harmony in our home and spirits that are open. So very quickly this morning, let's look at 5 steps to reopening a child's spirit. Number one, become tenderhearted. Become tenderhearted. The Bible says in Proverbs 15:1, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. Listen, when we're sensing in our children that there may be a closed spirit, or that their spirit may be beginning to close, we need to be tenderhearted. We need to watch our spirit. We need to watch our body language. We need to watch our facial expression, the tone of our voice, the level of our voice. Are we being gentle? Are we being soft? Are we being caring? Are we being careful as we're responding to a child that may You say, but yeah, but Brother Gabe, they're closing their spirit. And that frustrates me. It frustrates me too. But when you look at the illustration, you begin to understand, here's why they're closing their spirit. They sense something's wrong. They're trying to prevent injury. Now, I don't know what's wrong. I don't know what happened. But I'm certainly not going to solve anything by running into their room and throwing a fit about it. I mean, if they're like this, when I'm done, they're going to be like that for sure. I certainly haven't opened their spirit. I certainly haven't gained entrance to their heart. I certainly am not able to minister to their spirit. So I need to be tender-hearted. Now, when we're tender-hearted, when we're communicating in that way, what are we communicating to the person whom we may have offended or who is offended? Very quickly, we're communicating that he is valuable and important. This is so simple, but do your children know they're valuable and important to you? You say, Brother Gabe, how would they know that? Do you spend time with them? Oh, they're valuable and important, but I haven't spent any time with them this week. No, they're not. That's harsh. It's reality. I'm just going to shoot straight with you. We don't have enough time to beat around the bush. My kids are not important to me if I don't spend time with them. Well, I'm just so busy. I'm too busy. Seriously, what's on my plate more important than my kids? Okay, my relationship with my wife, my relationship with my God. Outside of those two things, you try proving to me what's more important than that relationship. It's not there. Well, there's a lot of pressures and there's a lot of demands. I agree. But there's also a lot of time being wasted. They have to know they're important and valuable to me. I've got to communicate that to them. What else will this communicate to them? Letter B, that we do want to see that we notice that their spirit is closed. We care about them. We want to see it open. We don't want our children to walk around with a closed spirit. We don't want our children to walk around trying to protect themselves from potential injury and us not care. We want them to know, listen, we want open spirits in this home. We care about them and how they are doing. Let us see. We know that there is something wrong. When we're taking the time to be tenderhearted and talking with our children about where they are in our spirit, it communicates we know something's not right. When daddy asks a child, honey, are you doing okay? It's typically because he senses they're not. He senses something's wrong. By the way, listen to me. It's one thing to sense when something's wrong. It's another thing to do something about it. Sometimes we're good at sensing things aren't right in our home, but then we dismiss it. I'm too busy. I'm tired. We don't have time for this right now. We'll get to it later. Listen, it's easy to sense something's wrong. It's more difficult to do something about it. And when we become tenderhearted, when we're engaging them, we're letting them know, we know that something's wrong. And then lastly, that we are open to listening. That we are open to listening. Now, I want my kids to know I will listen to them. I may not agree with what they say, but I will listen to them. My kids can talk to me about anything. My kids can talk to mom about anything. We will listen. We want to be open to that. Are we perfect in these areas? Heavens no. I have been so convicted in my reading and studying for this series, but I've been challenged and it's been good for me. And I want to share these things with you because I want our homes to be strengthened. So how can we open that spirit? Be tenderhearted. Secondly, increase in our understanding. Increase our understanding. If we're going to open a person's spirit, then we have to know what closed it. What pain are they sensing? What offended them? What did they interpret as offensive behavior? Well, we may be doing something that offends our children we didn't even know. Okay, well then let's find out. Let's increase our understanding. Let's know what's going on in their heart. I like the quote, seek first to understand, then to be understood. Well, we're good about driving our point home. We're good about making sure people know where we're coming from, but we want to be just as good as understanding where they are. Sometimes in working with younger children, they have a hard time explaining what they're feeling. They have a hard time articulating what's going on inside of them. Help them with that. Help them to communicate where they are and how they feel. You don't want home to be the residence of a bunch of frustrated people. That's ingredients for disaster. You want home to be safe haven. You want home to be the place you take your shoes off. You want home to be the place you can be yourself. You want home to be the place everybody can be open spirit. It's great. You want home to be the best place on earth for your family. So increase your understanding. If it's not that, why? If they don't feel that way, why? What is it that's preventing that? Why are the tentacles closing in? What do they sense? What stick have they been poked with that we didn't see? Thirdly, recognize the offense. How can we open this closed spirit? By the way, this works in marriage as well. How can we reopen this closed spirit? Recognize the offense. As you're learning from your child or your spouse about what offended them, why they began to close their spirit, recognize what it was. Now, you may not agree with it, but I don't know that that really matters. My wife could say to me, honey, it bothered me when you did this. And my answer could be, why? I don't see anything wrong with that. You need to grow up. You need to get over it. There's nothing wrong with the way I did that. Now, I could say that. I wouldn't be sleeping inside for a while, but I could say that. But honestly, at the end of the day, doesn't it not even matter? If I did something that offended her and she's opened enough to tell me about it, should not I, as a loving husband, change my behavior so that she's not offended? Or if it's a behavior I feel I really need to have, should I not explain it so that it does not come across offensive to her? Okay, flip that into your relationship with your kids. If your kids are offended, if they're bothered by something you or I do as their parent, and I'm not talking about you make me clean my room. Well, yeah, I do. You want to eat at my table? You want to wear the clothes I'm buying? Here's the rules to live in this home. But I'm not talking about that. We'll get into instruction and discipline and all of that as it relates. But I am talking about in our relating with our children. Sometimes we get to points as parents where we love our kids, we just don't like them. We love them, we just don't want to be around them an awful lot. And I'd like to see that change for the families in this room. I'd like to see home not just be a place we love each other, where we truly like each other. Where if I had the privilege to be with any five people in the world for 1 hour, it would be Susanna, Mariah, Lydia, Annalene, and Joseph, and that's the way I honestly feel. That's the way I want my home to be. Now, if my home is going to be that way, then I have to recognize when I've offended somebody, when I've done something to one of my kids where they no longer want to be in my presence, where when I go to put my arm around them, they kind of shrug it off, where the interaction and the fun is not there. I need to clue in on that and say, okay, hey, something's wrong. Red flags, bells are going off. Hey, this needs to be fixed. Their spirit is starting to close, and I need to recognize that there is an offense there. As parents, sometimes we dismiss this to the maturity level of our children. Ah, they got to get over it. They're just so immature. Listen to me very carefully. From our eyes, we see it from that perspective. From theirs, they do not. We cannot use the immaturity of children as excuses to not have open spirits. Okay, so I may have to relate to my 3-year-old son different than I do Caesar, who's my good friend. Well, that's what God calls on me to do as a dad. So I better figure it out. I want to recognize if I'm doing something. I don't want to dismiss it to his immaturity. Now, if I need to grow him in some area, then God's called me to do that. But I want to make sure I'm keeping these spirits open. One of the hardest things for us to do as parents is to admit when you and I are wrong. Sometimes this is especially tough for you and I as dads. And I'm not saying that I love to admit when I'm wrong or I love to stand in front of my family and say, oh, it was me and I'm sorry and look at the bad thing that I did. But I know this, a hardened and resistant attitude, a closed spirit, is extremely detrimental to a child and to a home. So if I have to choose between fathering closed spirit children or looking them in the eye and saying, Annalene, I'm sorry, I blew it, I was wrong, then I'd rather recognize the offense, own up, and fess up to it and make it right than have a bunch of closed spirits in our home. I've got to recognize that offense. The Bible says in Ephesians, any fathers provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. As the child hears you and I as their parents admitting when we've done something offensive or that we see how they feel, we understand, oh, okay, Dad, when you did this, it made me feel this way. Honey, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to make you feel that way, but now I see how you got there. I won't do that again. I'm sorry. I'm telling you, it opens that spirit. I mean, they feel like, hey, it's okay. We're connected with mom and with dad. How can we reopen that spirit? Recognize the offense. Number 4, attempt to touch. The fourth factor in attempting to reopen the spirit of our children is to attempt to touch the offended person. Now, why is this important? Or why should we try to touch the child who's been offended? Now, let me stop and just say a couple things. I teach a family-oriented class in 2013 where there's a lot of wickedness that goes on in our society. So to set the air clear, there is an appropriate way to touch children, and all of us as parents should master that. Kids need touch. There is a rampant a flow of inappropriate touch to children in our society, God forbid, which every one of us should be against in this class. But kids need our touch. Kids need the touch of a mom and a dad. And by the way, guys, sometimes this comes a little bit harder for us. Maybe we didn't grow up in a home where there was affection and things like that. I just want to encourage you men, you be the game changer. If you grew up in a home that wasn't the best, you make yours the best. Don't use yours as an excuse to make yours bad. Well, my home wasn't very good, so bless God, mine's going to be worse. I mean, come on. I mean, my home wasn't very good. Why don't we make ours better? Why don't we learn and improve? And that way our kids don't say the same thing about you that you said about your dad. Attempt to touch. Why? Letter A, because he needs to be touched. Children need to be touched. It communicates that we care. It communicates that we love. It communicates that they're important. There's something about a touch. There's something about putting your arm around your kid. There's something about hugging your kid. There's something about putting your hand on the small of their back, or just having a physical presence in their life. I'm telling you, it means something. It communicates something that words cannot communicate, and it's a necessary ingredient to reopening their spirit. Letter B, touching allows us to find out if the child's spirit is really opening. If we think we're making some progress and we go to touch them and they run for the door, their spirit's not open. And we're doing so good, but your kid doesn't even want you to touch them. It's a good barometer to know, is it open? Is it closed? Are we making progress? Are we not? How are we doing? It helps you know. Now, by the way, there may be some families in here, and we're just trying to help everybody. There may be some families in here, nobody touches anybody. It would be a little weird to go home this afternoon and just start hugging and, you know, and put an arm around them. They're going to be like, what did you guys do in that class today? You know, you might want to sit down and have a little bit of family time and say, you know what? This is something we haven't done a lot of, but this is something we'd like to do. Mom and Dad want to be able to give you a hug and express our love and that we care and that you're important to us. You're so special to us. And we're going to work at doing A, B, and C or whatever, you know. We're going to hug and kiss before bed at night. We're going to give you a hug before you go to school. We're going to whatever. And explain it to them and then start implementing it. Don't not do it because you're not doing it. But if you're not doing it at all, you might want to just give them a little heads up, all right? That might be a good thing. So attempt to touch. And number five, as we close, seek forgiveness. Seek forgiveness. The final step in opening someone's spirit who has been closed or is beginning to close is to seek forgiveness from the person who's been offended, from the person who is sensing that harm or injury may be prevalent in their life. Now, as you and I seek forgiveness, and as our children forgive, or as our spouse forgives, then the spirit begins to open and true restoration takes place. Now, as we come to this moment, why would someone refuse to forgive? And we may face this, so let's know it. First of all, perhaps the offense was deeper than we realized. You and I may have taken it a little bit trivial, but to our, you know, 5-year-old or 15-year-old, to them, it was life and death. So we went through the steps, we did all the things we've learned, and we got to this, and we said, hey, would you forgive? And they didn't forgive. Why? Because this may have been a whole lot deeper than we thought. That could be a reason why there's refusal to forgive. Number next, maybe because we rushed things and the child didn't have time to think through all that happened and process the situation. Maybe we went too fast through those steps. Or, thirdly, perhaps the child wants to see a change in our behavior first. You talk about a child keeping us to our own standard. What happens sometimes when our kids ask you and I to forgive and we say, oh yeah, I forgive you, I just want to see you do right. Hey, there might be a time where our kids say, yeah, Mom and Dad, I forgive you. I want to see if you mean it. I want to see if your behavior is actually going to change. Now, here's what I want to tell you. If you get to a point with a child where the spirit is closed and you come to this moment of forgiveness and reopening of the spirit and it's not happening, start over. Don't give up. Don't say, well, I tried. Well, I asked for forgiveness. It's on them now. No, 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 no. You start over. You go back to the very beginning and you be tender. And you go right through those steps. And you go at it and you go at it and you go at it until that spirit is open, until that restoration has occurred. And they may just want to see that you and I mean it. Now, very quickly, let me give you this one. We got to go. How can we teach our children to reopen their own spirit? How can we reopen our own spirit? Do you and I not agree that we're going to raise children in our society in an environment where they're often going to have an opportunity to close their spirit? So are they not going to have to learn how to reopen their own spirit in life? How can we help them do that, and how can we reopen our own spirit? Well, we remember in our study of forgiveness in Matthew chapter 6, very quickly, we were challenged in the prayer of the Lord to forgive our debts and us to forgive our debtors, to forgive men their trespasses, so that our Heavenly Father will forgive us. But if you forgive not their men trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Now, the word forgive here means to release or to set free. And we need to teach our children to be able to forgive, to release, to set free, so that their own spirit can be reopened in ours as well. What do they need to know? Number one, a child can begin to recognize that the person who has offended him has problems of their own. So to reopen their spirit, they have to recognize that person has problems of their own. Listen, they're going to face all kinds of things in life and at school, and there's going to be an opportunity for them to be offended and for their spirit to be closed. How can they learn to reopen that on their own? By recognizing the person who offended them has problems. The person who offended them has been offended by others and maybe is going through a difficult time in their life. Hey, we don't know who's having a good day or a bad day. Somebody may say something to us curtly, and we may think, what a jerk. And they just got bad news yesterday of health or lost their job or something of that nature. We don't know, and we want to recognize that. Or secondly, we can encourage our children to make a commitment to pray for someone who has offended them. Usually, people are offensive because they've been offended. You've heard this, hurting people hurt people. Well, how can we reopen our own spirit, recognize everybody has problems, and commit to pray for those who offend us? How can we help our children to learn to reopen their own spirit in life, to teach them that everybody has problems, that people that have problems typically hurt people, and we need to pray for them? Great peace have they which love thy law. Finish it with me. And nothing shall offend them. Wouldn't it be amazing to be in a home where nobody was offended? Wouldn't it be amazing to be in a home where everybody's spirit was like this? Could you imagine how much we could get done if this represented everyone in the home as opposed to this? I'm praying this series we're going to learn a lot of things that strengthen our home. But I believe it's a good start to look at our home and say, are we like this or are we like this? Are we going to be able to apply what we're learning, or do we just need to start opening the spirits up? Maybe we can take some steps today and just get the spirits open at home and make it a great place. Heavenly Father, we sure love you. Thank you for your word. Lord, I pray that you would challenge our class this week to analyze our homes, to strive to reopen the spirits of everyone involved, that it may be a place where indeed everyone is connecting on every level. And from that, may we be able to learn and apply your word and truths to our home and lives. And we'll sure praise and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.